Stager Talk Radio, brought to you by Real Estate Staging Association. The Real Estate Staging Association is the trade association for professional real estate stagers. For information on real estate staging or to hire a professional stager, visit www.realestatestagingassociation.com or call 1-888-201-8687 for a referral to a professional real estate stager in your area.
Good morning, everyone. This is Shel Brodnax here with Stager Talk. I'm glad to be here today and with my very special guest, Lisa McEntee. Lisa, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Lisa is the owner of The Staging Professionals, and you're an innovative entrepreneur and home staging business consultant who's consistently seeking out new ways to expand your business and grow the home staging industry. So we're going to talk a little bit about today about the ultimate staging success hacks, and you're going to be presenting this at RisaCon Canada, August 4th and 5th in Mississauga. So welcome again, and tell me, what made you want to speak about this subject?
You know, the one thing I find when talking to a number of different stagers, regardless of their location or experience in the business, is that they're under the assumption when they get into the industry that they have the passion to do it and to do this job, but that it's a relatively easy business to break into. I remember when I started years and years and years ago, I was under the impression that I took the course and I was getting $75 an hour. I have a lot of experience in other businesses that I've started and ran successfully, and there's some really easy ways to get your business up and running relatively quick in such a competitive market, if you've got the drive to do it and the know-how. And the experience that I've gained through all my different companies, including all my pitfalls with staging and everything else, I've kind of compiled into one, you know, one-hour segment to give people some of the tools that they can use almost to fast-track their success and hopefully avoid some of the roadblocks and the hiccups that I did that cost me a lot of money and a lot of time. So I thought it was a great way to compress some information for those looking, I mean, those starting business or those who are already in business looking to change and get new directions, add sources of income, other revenue streams and things like that. There's some really great ways to do it without banging your head on the table and, you know, investing a ton of money in outside educational marketing, human resources, things like that. This is kind of the Cole's Notes version of how to make it happen.
Right. I would agree with you as well as far as the drive and, you know, the ability to get a business up and running. It can be pretty seamless and it can be pretty easy if you have the drive. And there's a saying, you know, in my cowgirl world about frustration begins where knowledge ends. And I think that what you commented on about everybody banging their head against the wall, same concept. So let's take a couple of your staging success hacks. What can people expect out of your session?
I think the number one learning objective is I want to get people to understand their particular skill set. When it comes to jumping from a career or a stay-at-home mom into an entrepreneurial venture, you can have all the passion in the world, all the drive, and sometimes all the money, but that will not make you successful. It comes down, I mean, I guess in sorts somewhat of a brand, but you have to dissect who you are, what you're able to offer, and what you can bring to the table. We have home stagers as an umbrella terminology, but all of us should be created and should be defined differently. We all have different skill sets and abilities, despite us all being under the title of a stager. And my goal is to help people understand what their skill sets are and bring those forward, and then also define their weaknesses and work on those, because sometimes the weaknesses can be your biggest downfall and you can't ignore them. It's a lot easier to focus on what you're good at in order to achieve success faster, but you also have to focus on the weaknesses to build that up behind the scenes. And a big part of my talk is getting people to understand, I mean, that was one thing I was great at. I really dissected my personality, my skills, my ability to take risks and the risk levels, all of these things that came into play create this business that became so successful for me, and it's my business. I don't compete with anybody else. I've got a niche market because of who I am, and that is what is portrayed in my business. And that's one of the biggest learning objectives I want anybody who's coming to the seminar to understand, is that we can take the courses and we can get the knowledge and we can use social media for questions and answers, but it ultimately is who you are will define what you will become. And there's a lot of factors that go into that, and that's one of the things I wanted to go through with everybody coming and help them achieve their true success with who they are as opposed to what they think they want to be.
Right. I agree with you, too. You've got to really figure out what is your skill set, what sets you apart for someone with someone else and everybody else, and then exploit that, capitalize on it. You know, it reminds me of just tell a quick story from this weekend. I had my granddaughter, Edie, this weekend, and she said to my husband, who she calls Papa, let's have a dance battle. And he said, you know, okay, I'll do that with you. So they were dancing together, and she's like, Mimi's going to be the judge. And I was sitting back watching them. And then all of a sudden, she started doing this crazy extra stuff and then flipped a somersault up on the sofa and stuck her feet straight up in the air. And he said, well, wait a minute. How can I compete with that? I don't even know what that is. What are you doing? I call that winning.
Absolutely.
She took something that she was good at and did extra so she could win her little battle. She's 7 years old, Lisa. And I talked to her about it afterwards. And I said, you know, tell me a little bit about that. What made you decide to do that? And she says, well, I just wanted to win. And we were both dancing. And so I just wanted to do something extra, because isn't that how you win at something, is that you do a little something extra better than someone else? She's seven. And that's just, you know, bravo, Evie, for recognizing that. So out of the mouths of babes, you know, it was just fantastic. But I agree with you. So there's so many people that think that, you know, they get in the staging business and what they're going to say is, well, what I'm good at is I'm staging. I'm good at the actual staging. Well, that's great. And everybody can be great at the actual staging. But if you don't have the business acumen to get the job, it being a great stager really doesn't do you any good, right?
No, you know what? That's just the foundation of the passion to be in the business. But you've really got to get in the business in order to be successful. And you've got to pick your clients. I remember staging 10 years ago, and it was really, really easy. Where I lived, it was very new. I could get any client, and I could do, you know, I mean, any type of job. And it really didn't matter what you brought in or brought to the table, because there was nobody out there doing it. Now it's highly competitive, and everybody's got a different skill set. Some people have massive warehouses and can hold 90 houses at a time. Other people specialize in luxury homes. Other people don't have any accessories, and they're strictly doing owner-occupied. But when you get into all of those, let's call them somewhat niche markets, you still have to compete, and it's what you bring to the table that's going to land you those jobs. Because it's not about getting the jobs. It's also about your bottom line. I can go out today and get 15 jobs I can do tomorrow by undercutting everybody. That's not business, right? So learning how to go and understand what brings you. I mean, I'm no better than anybody else out there. I just know what I'm worth, and I know what I bring to the table, and I choose my clients according to my personality, my skill set, and the jobs that I'm great at. And that's where I make really good money, because people pay me for my expertise, my ability to handle certain situations, certain types of clients. And I was able to hone down on my particular skill set, and I make a lot of money doing that. And I think that's the one thing that everybody needs to start realizing, is they can't be generic. There's going to be no more room for generic stagers.
I agree, and I think they cast their net so wide, a lot of people as well, instead of honing in on what they're doing best. So they say, well, I stage best, so that's great. But then they think, well, I'm going to go bid this luxury home, and then I'm going to bid an average everyday home. And there's a lot lost in that mix. It's like, how can you effectively service every single type of home that is out there? And I think if they rein it in a bit and focus in and hone in on exactly, you know, what is your skill set, what is going to set you apart, they're going to have a lot better luck with that.
absolutely. And you know what? And once you do that, I mean, it's a big part of my presentation, too, is also the sales process. When you know what you bring to the table, closing a deal is no problem. No problem. You should be walking out of that house and knowing what you're charging, what you're getting, and the client can't come back and argue it, right? I mean, everybody wants a deal, but they're also willing to pay for good products and good services. And if you offer that because that's who you really are, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. And you can charge more money. I do it consistently day in and day out, and I know my clients, and they pay for it.
Right. I agree. I would rather go up if you were going to say you were competing. Let's say a client was choosing between three stagers. I would much rather be the stager that your product, and maybe they could go into the low end. They should be known as for our part of the stage. Go to a commercial break. Will call me right back.
Working with Court Furniture Rental makes sense for home stagers in a number of ways. A wide variety of furniture selection, delivery in as little as 48 hours, professional installation, no warehousing, repairing or cleaning, and flexible lease terms. By teaming up with Court, you can focus on the bigger vision and spend less time installing furniture. If you are a professional home stager, contact us today for your furniture needs. Be sure to let us know if you are a RESA member and receive a 10% discount. For more information about partnering with Court, call 888-360.
Hi there, Shell Broadnax again here with Stager Talk. Lisa, are you with me?
I'm with you.
You're with me. Okay, we had a little technical glitch there. Just love being recorded live. So where were we leaving off? We're talking about being the low price leader. Who wants to lose a job or get the job? Do you want to really get a job because you're the low price leader? No, we don't want to be the Walmarts of stagers. You want to be able to get the job because you delivered a superior product for a great price, a competitive price, and you hit it off with your clients. It's going to be a win-win for everybody.
Absolutely.
No, a lot of people
It also comes down to business model too, but knowing how to set up your business model and what's going to make you the most money, again, that's a process, right? It's not something you can go online and Google business plans and all these ideas, but it's got to come from within. And it's far more than that passion you have to stage a home. So.
Right. Absolutely. So what are your, let's just look at maybe two of the staging success hacks you're going to talk about. Pick whichever one that you want to, but what can someone expect to hear?
Definitely what's, I want to initiate and initially start with the developing your brand and getting out there and how to connect with clients. The one thing I always found is people were chasing their tails on how to get clients. I have a way that I'll be discussing at the seminar where I hone in on a very particular type of client for my business, and I'll be teaching everybody how to do this. Instead of going to meet with 20 or 30 or 50 potential new realtors, for example, I pick three, and I get all three. And there's a system and a process to do that that would work. It would be universal regardless if you're in Texas or British Columbia or Ottawa, Ontario. It would be a universal trick that I just kind of, over the years, had figured out was the best way to go in and the best sales pitch for my business, which I will teach everybody to tailor to their own business, to go in and seal the deal. So when you're going into a meeting or a presentation, you could be doing a presentation for 30 realtors. Know beforehand which ones you want to target and leave with them as your clients. That, to me, is one of the biggest success hacks, because I did spend years running around scrambling, working with Bob, Bill, Mary, and Joe, but never really having a definitive client base. Now my client base is strictly regular clients who consistently call me. I have a consistent income stream. I have the ability, if I want more jobs, to go out and get another realtor because I know how to sell it and I know how to find them. So I think that's the number one success hack is being able to get the clients without wasting a huge amount of time, resources, and money. I was able to save a lot of marketing dollars by being able to hone in and build my client database.
Right. I love that. And you know what else I love about, I wish people would, and I'm sure you're going to touch on this in your talk, in your seminar, is that people need to represent their brand. When you have a brand, when you've established your brand, and your brand is beyond a logo these days, everybody, it's what do you stand for? What do you look like to the public? When you are standing there repping your brand, and you do it well, and you're bringing your whole brand with you behind you, and you're representing it, and then you're presenting and speaking with some passion and knowledge about what it is that you do and how it is that sets you apart and how you can help that client, it's really hard to factor in how you could lose that business. It just seems like they should just be signing up all day for you. Don't you agree?
I absolutely agree. Absolutely
awesome.
Agree. I
so
think that there's so many components to being a successful brand, and it is not your logo. I mean, I think that's the least of it, right? And so many times we misconstrue what branding is and assuming it's that physical component, and it's not.
No, not at all. It's everything. It's everything. Every time a potential client looks at you and they start with your website, you've got to have a killer website. I mean, in these days, if you are competing in the home staging business and your website is not absolutely stellar, looks better than everybody else's that is out there with professional photography, and somebody else comes to the table and they're bidding on the same job you are and theirs is, you are going to lose that job unless the client is looking for a low price leader.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, there is business in staging. I mean, for the low price staters, that's a very difficult business model to nail and to tailor. And it's not something that going forward in this industry, when it comes to business forecasting, that I would want to even jump on board with. I think that would be, you know, the Walmart business model is one of the most successful in the world, but one of the hardest to achieve, and you can never compare a stager to a brand that big, and that's been one of the only brands that's been able to pull it off. So, I mean, knowing that when it comes to business strategies, it's simply not a good strategy. So, as stagers, we need to look at other ways to define our markets and find our clients and pick a niche and capitalize on it. I mean, that's what you can do. You don't need 100 clients. You need 3 good ones or 7 good ones, and you've got a really, really dynamic and profitable business.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I always tell my coaching clients, you need 7 good clients, 7 good, great clients that are going to use you all the time instead of spinning your wheels trying to go out and casting that net in your pond to 100 agents every month. You just need to work with a few good ones.
Absolutely.
So what else is there that we can expect from your session?
Once we work on everybody, you know, kind of defining who they are and understanding the tools they need to do that and coming up with their brand, it's going to be ultimately closing it. It's kind of the single most important strategy that stagers need to create their income is closing the deal at a good price, and how to upsell, how to get other streams of income coming in to one job. Ultimately, I want stagers to have the tools and the resources to walk into a house and see beyond staging. There's a lot more money that stagers are leaving on the table that they can be getting from different sources in that house, from homeowners, even in building their own business. I mean, we're one person. For me, all my clients want to work with me, but I do have a team, and I've branched out in order to offer a bunch of different services that I know every homeowner will need, and that I'm able to close that deal with them on site. And those tools in order to close the deal are probably my business savior. I never have to worry about walking into a job and leaving without getting it unless I don't want it.
That would be a great place for everybody to be, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, that's, again, the staging success hacks is, you know, I've failed far more times than I've succeeded in trying different avenues and methods to make things work and to get more money. And I've tried that, you know, charge more, you know, or build out a team. I've done it all. And I've kind of compiled all of my successes and failures into this 1 hour presentation. It's kind of like a power hour. It's here you go. This is what I've done. You know, this is how it works. And every stager who comes is going to have an open mind and tweak it to their business. But it absolutely works every day. I mean, I haven't marketed to new clients for probably 4-5 years.
So the same repeat clients just keep coming back and coming back.
Keep coming back in their referrals, and that's been my business.
That is amazing. And you did it all without undercutting others in the industry. I think that's a really big lesson that stagers need to learn, is that I don't think anybody sets out to be the low price leader. That's not what they want for their brand, but yet they do it and it becomes their brand, and they're doing it on the cheap and on a value of price alone. And it always gets them into trouble. And then so once you've already started out on that method and you've already gotten in trouble, I think your Ultimate Staging Success Hacks seminar is going to help people get out of that mess that they've kind of put themselves in by learning some of these tools.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's kind of the whole goal, is I've become successful in my business with all of these. And I want to share it with people because I see 90% of the stagers are just struggling. And some of them are very seasoned stagers with great businesses, but they can't move forward. They can't make more money. They can't target new markets. They're unsure of how to proceed with certain plans. All of these things, there's a reason for that. And I mean, again, it starts down to who you are. Once you understand who you are and what you can offer, the world is your oyster. But if you
Absolutely.
Don't know what you bring to the table, you're never going to be able to sell it. So I want to work with everybody and get them to understand what each of them brings to the table and why it's great and how to capitalize on that and how to use that to make money. I mean, ultimately, I get paid for my personality. It's not my skill set. It's not the staging. It's not the furniture I bring in. It is my personality.
I love it when you say that, because I think a lot of times, you know, Jeffrey Gittimore at RisaCon Vegas and I, we talked about closing a sale, and so many people think that closing the sale is at the end. It's closing. It's what do you say at the end? And it's much more than asking a question in a way to derive a certain answer, like what time can I schedule you for, Thursday at 9 a.m. or Thursday at 1 p.m., which works better? It's more than that. You've got to connect with these people. You've got to connect with your potential client, because, you know, people, just because you have a product or service that they need doesn't mean that they're going to hire you. They hire you because they believe in you. And if you speak with some passion about your business and know what you it is that you bring to the table and how it is that you can help that potential client, they're going to want to hire you, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think we have to focus on, too, a big part of what I learned in this industry is the failures. We've all had, you know, horrible clients, mean clients, jobs gone bad, and all these things. Learning how to deal with that, I found, has been one of my biggest successes, because I will deal with difficult clients and bad situations, and I will find a way to get out of it. And that has led to more referrals than anything else I've done in my business. You know, I've had a lot of confrontational clients, and I've had some very difficult, you know, whether it's been luxury or mainstream homes. But how I've handled it ultimately at the end of the day has gained a lot of respect, both from the homeowner and the realtor. And I use that as leverage in my business, because I'm not afraid to have that and stand up for what I believe in and what I think is right and what needs to be done to the house, and go toe-to-toe, and I don't back down. And that's one of my biggest assets, and that's why a lot of people hire me. And the process to get to the end result in those types of jobs is very stressful and difficult, but I'm able to handle that, and I charge well for it. And ultimately, it brings me a lot more business on the back end. So we have to look at all different strategies and personality types and really help people hone in on what their skill set is and find their clients accordingly.
Let's talk about failure for a minute. I always, you know, I want people to start viewing failure. It's not, there's nothing that you failed at. It's just the results of what happened. And I think when, if somebody can, look back on something that failed or that they deem failed, and if they can change the way they look at it and now look at it saying, you know what, it's just the results of what happened. I tried this. This was the result. It kind of takes the sting out of, AKA failure, and then allows them to use that experience as a learning experience where they can either make changes in their business, use that experience to change something down the line or change something in their process from the get-go. But it's really all about, you know, that saying, it's not, you know, that something bad happened to you or that failure happened. It's how you deal with it that matters.
You know, I think embracing it is, at first I was intimidated by it. And I mean, I remember my first job that went horribly wrong probably 10 years ago. And I just wanted to curl up in a ball and die. But I didn't. And I remember the strength I got from that. And I love when things don't go as planned and things don't work out right, because that's the only way we learn. I've got three kids. Not one of them were able to learn to ride a bike by getting up and going on. They all ended up cuts, bruised, falling, and I made them go and go. And that's how we learn, and we take that into adulthood. But sometimes we fear failure so much, but that can be our biggest, biggest asset, is if we truly, if we don't get a job, don't jump and move on to the next. Analyze why. Why didn't you get it, and make it better? That's your only opportunity to learn at this stage in the game.
Right. I agree. You have to conduct a post-mortem on whatever it is that happened and look at it. What went well? What didn't go well? What are you going to do differently next time?
Always.
Every single job that you have, especially if it doesn't go well, that's what you want to look at. But even the ones that do go well, what went well? What went really, really well? What are we going to definitely do next time? And you implement these changes and tweaks into your business as time goes on. And it's, you're never just going to have that, you know, ultimate perfect business. It's always growing. It's always morphing. It's always changing. But ultimately, the goal is to get it to where you want it to be, to where you have the beautiful business that you've always desired, and that you get up every day and you're happy to go to work and it's flourishing.
That's the ultimate goal. And I think if you can embrace all of those factors, it's, I mean, success in this industry is not hard. Not hard. It's just the process of getting there. Think outside the box, be different, be who you are, and sell it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that people just really have to make the commitment. I have a lot of coaching people, and the ones that are most successful that I coach are the ones that when I set out and say, hey, you've got 2 weeks to do these goals, that no matter what, they've done them. And it just doesn't matter. Nothing got in their way, because they hang up the phone and they go right to work with their homework, which always helps them build their business. But the ones that procrastinate or they put it off, we really see when there's a failure of business, a really serious lack of commitment. And I know I do hear from people all the time, I've tried everything. But yet when you talk to them a little bit more, we realize they have not tried everything. And then what they have tried, they don't stick with. So with your staging hacks, these are easy things that people can go home and implement immediately, correct?
And you know what? That day. Yeah, and they need to start thinking. It's a very in-depth analysis, but it's a very simple thing to do. Once somebody tells you how it works, you can hit the ball running the next day.
Well, I love it. Is there anything else that you would want our listeners to know if they are on the fence about attending RisaCon or choosing your session?
Oh, you know what? It's absolutely mandatory to come to this convention. There's a great lineup of speakers. The education is going to be incredible. And with regards to my seminar, I've put 10-plus years of everything I've learned in this business and many more into one dynamic power hour of here's how you're going to make it work and get it done. And I'm always available after the fact if anybody has questions to make it happen. I'm excited that Reese is coming to Canada, and I can't wait to see everybody there. And let's talk about the Canadian market and make staging big here.
Well, I love it, and I'm so looking forward to it. And thank you for joining me today on Stager Talk and also for presenting at RisaCon Canada. If you're on the fence about attending RisaCon Canada, it is August 4th and 5th at the Living Arts Center in Mississauga, Ontario. If you visit the website, risa-hq.org, you can see all of our amazing speaker lineup, the full agenda, and you can sign up right there online. Thank you all for joining us again, and we will see you in Mississauga in August. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Shell.
Working with Court Furniture Rental makes sense for home stagers in a number of ways. A wide variety of furniture selection, delivery in as little as 48 hours, professional installation, no warehousing, repairing or cleaning, and flexible lease terms. By teaming up with Court, you can focus on the bigger vision and spend less time installing furniture. If you are a professional home stager, contact us today for your furniture needs. Be sure to let us know if you are a RESA member and receive a 10% discount. For more information about partnering with Court, call 888-360-0278.